Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Charlottesville.
That would be a little weird. That was not recorded either.
That was live as it could be. Wherever you are.
I was in the hotel room this morning with Stefan. Stefan and I are rooming together. We're roommates. We were listening to his wonderful girlfriend, Grace, who did a great job on the podcast yesterday. Thank her for filling in for me. She might replace me pretty soon. But it really got him that was recorded and like put in there perfectly.
I told her ahead, like, when I say that would be a little weird, you just pause and let me have a second there. So made it work.
That was great.
That would be a little weird. Wherever you are in our great state or in this great country of ours, you can have Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Our friends at Pitt Printing and Signs have a deal that you cannot pass up if you are a business owner and a Bulldog fan. We're talking about this. You already spend money on printing if you own a business. It's part of your monthly budgets. Now we're going to let you spend that same money, no more, no less, with Pitt Printing and Signs. 30 years of experience in the printing business, taking care of businesses just like yours, and 10% of your sale straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You become a Bulldog Initiative business when you give your business to Pitt Printing and Signs. You cannot pass that deal up if you're a state fan. This is a great way to support the Bulldog Initiative, not spending any extra money whatsoever. Give Pitt Printing a call today. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. He'll get everything taken care of. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and you are looking for it. You need new gear. Get it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowa by the Half Shell. Shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Father's Day is just around the corner. Get Dad something he wants from College Corner. I said corner twice, but that's okay. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Grace trying to get me in trouble yesterday, talking about she likes to go to Restaurant Tyler with me. I was like, well, you got to be more specific there. We're not going to, with each other. It's where there's a group.
Just go with it.
I mean, look, I'm just saying.
Just go with it.
You know, my wife, Jennifer, she never listens to this podcast, but what if that was the one time that she did?
Well, somebody would tell her. Somebody would be like, you know, you're my friend. So I wanted to let you know that Brian is openly talking about going to lunch with other women.
True too. Yeah, some of our coworkers listen. So
be careful then.
The easier way around would be like, look at Grace and look at me, and there's no way that the two of us are going to lunch by ourselves.
Do you really think that could happen?
I don't. I don't have any delusions of grandeur on that one. What I do have delusions of grandeur on is that I would love to eat a blue plate at Restaurant Tyler with my friend Robbie Falk. We're going to have to do that when he gets back into town from Virginia, because it is the best lunch in town. I love the blue plate at Restaurant Tyler. It's my favorite. It's the best one in the city of Starkville by far, and it may be the best one in the state. I'm just telling you. Next time you're here for lunch, you need to make sure that lunch is at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout central Mississippi here to serve you. Let Priority One Bank .com be your guide. Let them show you where the nearest location to you is, and let them show you all of the financial services that they offer. This is not a bank that's just checking and savings account. It's not just a little bank that's on the side of the road. This is a fully functioning financial institution. They just happen to offer you the same kind of service you expect to get from your small town banks. And that's a win-win, in my opinion. I like to do business with the people I know, people in my community. I think you guys are the same. That's why I'm encouraging you to give your business to Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Bobby Falk, Virginia is for lovers, I hear.
Yes. That's why I'm here.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
I do both. When's maybe not time, well on either one of them, but I'll do both.
You got to a fight, like an actual fight.
Like a fist fight?
Yeah.
Like college.
Oh, wow.
Been a long time. It might not turn out very well these days, especially whenever, you know, I might like jog just slightly out of a, you know, across the road or something, and I feel like a twinge in my Achilles area, and it just seems like everything is more easily injured at this point. So it probably wouldn't turn out very well.
Yeah. Okay, then. Let's not do that then.
You know how it is getting old. I'll be 35 in 2 days.
That's right. You're an old man. Welcome to the show.
I feel it.
I've been there. I've done that. All right, let's talk baseball. You're up there in Virginia. You had a chance to talk to Chris Lemonis today earlier. What did he have to say about this regional and his team?
He's excited. You know, I mean, this is going to be a really good atmosphere, I think, especially if Mississippi State and Virginia get to meet on Saturday. But obviously you got to get through St. John's first. And going back to Monday when we talked to him in Starkville, kind of reiterated the same things about St. John's. This is a team that they do not need to overlook. It's a very scrappy team. It's a team that grinds out at bats. They'll play small ball. They play good defense. I've looked at their numbers the last couple of days, and really impressive. You know, the Big East is not a super impressive league. There used to be some really good teams in that league, but it's diminished a little bit over the years. But you got two NCAA tournament teams, I think, in this league, in UConn and St. John's. St. John's led the league in ERA. They were third in fielding percentage, and they were third in hitting. So what that tells you is this is a well-coached team. They do everything well. And that's always a dangerous team. They've won their conference tournament, so you know they're playing well at the right time. It's not a team that just had a good regular season and they're starting to digress a little bit. It's a team that's playing its best baseball right now. And those are always the most dangerous teams to play in this stage of the game. So it's going to be a tough matchup even in game one. I mean, every game's tough now when you get into this tournament. Everybody here is good. Everybody here was either really good all season or they've gotten really hot right now. And that's kind of the conundrum that you have. You have to be playing your best baseball at the right time. That's the weird thing about this sport. So we'll see if Mississippi State's able to do it. I think State's playing good baseball right now. I know they're struggling at the plate, but the mark of a good team is even when things are not going well, you are in position to win the ball game. And that's where they were in the SEC tournament. They lost 2 one-run games to two really hot teams, and Vanderbilt and Tennessee had a chance to win both of them. So if something happens and they start to get the middle of the order going, this is a team that can definitely make a run.
What did he have to say about Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines and you know, how they're going to work their way out of these slumps?
He talked about how hard they're working right now. I mean, Hunter Hines has his entire right hand taped because the blisters on his hands from how much he's been hitting. I mean, he is he's doing everything he can to get out of it. I watched closely during BP Hunter and DJ and their swings and their mindset, and Jake Gautreau was constantly in Hunter's ear and just kind of tweaking maybe his stance a little bit or his swing. I don't know exactly what he was telling him, but whatever he was telling him, Hunter was taking into consideration. And the next time up, you know, you see a little bit of better approach. DJ was locked in, and I don't think BP is really an issue for DJ. Every time I've seen him take BP, he's been really good. So I don't know if we'll know anything about that till the game starts, but both of them look, you know, fairly loose and ready to go, and we'll see if they're able to put that into practice when the game starts. But Chris Lemonis has really been pleased with their work ethic, how they've brought it to the game every single week, and he just talked about how tough it is sometimes when you get in these slumps. Hopefully that hit that DJ had against Tennessee was something to kind of take a little bit of that pressure off his back. And it really felt like it did when you saw him rounding first base, look towards the dugout, pumping his fist. You could kind of see the weight of the world off of him. Hopefully that translates to Friday night.
They announced today, Mississippi State did, that it will be Kyle Steven going on Friday for the Bulldogs. You and I talked about this a little bit, that it didn't make sense to switch up the rotation in this 2-3 game. Feels like Chris Lamone has made the right decision here. Didn't overthink things. Didn't announce the rest of the rotation. Is it possible that if something goes wrong and State loses in the first game, that they might not go Gerangelo in game two?
I can't imagine that, because your season's on the line.
Yeah.
If you lose that game, you're not playing another game.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to be him. You know, I remember in 2017, State held Connor Pilkington in that first game, and they lost against South Alabama. And he ended up having to pitch against Illinois-Chicago in game two. This is a little bit different situation because Gerangelo is your number two guy, but it's kind of the same situation. You're going to throw your best guy in that game two that you can to give yourself a chance to advance, because if you don't win that game, then the season's over. You just wasted Gerangelo without having a chance to save your season. So I think it's probably going to be Cal, then Gerangelo, and then see what happens from there. I feel certain it'll be Brooks Auger game three, whoever that's against. And hopefully for Mississippi State, it's 2-0 and you're in the winner's bracket. And then you got all the cards at that point.
What are your thoughts on this regional? Now that we're basically at prediction time, I feel pretty good about State's chances, assuming Jordan and Hines show up to hit. If they do that and we get the same kind of pitching performances we've seen from Mississippi State over the past week or so, I think the Dogs are going to advance. I don't know if they can put together another 2-3 wins without those two guys. I will say that last week they won two games and had a chance to win two more against much better competition than they're going to face this weekend. I just don't know if they can do it, but I think that they're going to shake out of it and State's going to advance here. What do you think?
It definitely depends on the offense for me. And I know that a lot of the talk has been Virginia's offense, and for very good reason. This is one of the best offenses in the country in so many different categories. And it's not just that they have power or that they're just getting hits or whatever. It's they do everything. They get on base. They don't strike out a lot. They can hit for power, and this is their field, so they're going to be more comfortable here. But we've seen Mississippi State against some really good offenses this year. They've been able to pitch it pretty well against a lot of good offenses. I don't have as much concern about Mississippi State's pitching against this offense as I do Mississippi State's offense against any pitching. The Bulldogs have had big innings against teams. I want to see them string together big innings. I want a big inning in the second inning and a big inning in the fifth and another one in the seventh. Or can they be relentless at the plate? Can they have one or two runs every other inning? The big inning, like once or twice a game, and that's all you're scoring, is a detriment to this team right now. I think they need to be a more methodical offense and an offense that's constantly, you know, putting pressure on the opposing team. And they're going to have to stay ahead of schedule, I think. You know, St. John's, I feel like they can stay in the game no matter what. But against Virginia, they're going to have to score some runs and stay in that fight there. If you get down in that ball game 4-0 or something, that's going to be a tough, you know, hole to climb out of. But I think if the offense starts to come together, if you start to see some big swings from Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines and some really good at-bats that's, you know, players just getting on base and manufacturing runs, things like that, then this team definitely has a chance to get out of this thing. Yeah. So, you know, I usually lean towards the home team in these regionals, and I still think it's going to be a tough one for Mississippi State to get out of, but it wouldn't shock me in the least to see them win this regional. They're capable of doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It just really depends on the thing I've said is that if the best version of State shows up, they're winning the regional. But if you don't get that best version, if Jordan and Hines can't deliver, or if your pitching takes a step back, which it shouldn't, it's been really good all season long, that somebody put together one of those infographs of all four teams. seeing State's pitching numbers where they are, it's just incredible. We really have, I don't know that as much as we have talked about Justin Parker and the job that he did this year, I don't know that we've talked enough. I don't know that we've given that man enough credit for what he's done and those players enough credit for being able to adapt to what he was teaching them and putting it into practice. It's been an incredible turnaround. And this potential Virginia-Mississippi State matchup is a great offense versus hitting versus pitching kind of showdown. So it has the potential to be one of the more exciting regionals this weekend. We'll see what happens.
Here's what I say about Mississippi State is, like, we've seen some bad teams enter postseason at Mississippi State. We've seen some teams that are, you know, struggling at the time when they enter. The 2021 team entered postseason with 2 run-rule losses in the SEC tournament, and a couple weeks prior had lost a series to Missouri. You know, 2017 and 2018, I remember people talking about there's no way this team can survive a regional setting if they lose a game. And they got out of 2 regionals with their pitching. So, I never count Mississippi State out when it comes to postseason baseball. Something about postseason brings out the best in Mississippi State baseball, and we'll see if they're able to do it. I mean, this team has won 5 straight regionals. Is that right? 16, 17, 18, 19, 21.
Yeah. That's – wow, I hadn't considered that.
And, I mean, 2 of them were on the road.
Yeah.
With way worse pitching staffs that we've seen. So I don't ever count Mississippi State out.
What was the other one? Where was the 18 team? Where did they go?
Florida State.
Yeah. So yeah, you're not wrong. All right. Let's get a little more insight. I wanted to get a little more insight, not only into the fun of postseason baseball, but into the mind of a hitter. I'm not a baseball player. I never have been. This guy has been. Wes Ray joined me on Thunder and Lightning Live Wednesday night. I wanted to get his thoughts on how you break out of a slump, what players can do, what coaches can do. Plus, we just had some fun talking Bulldog baseball. Let's go now to that interview from Thunder and Lightning Live and Wes Ray. Joining us right now. Wes, I know you can't see because, you know, you're not on the screen with us here. The caption we have for you here is Wes Ray has as many triples as stolen bases.
That's a heck of a stat to open up with, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that stolen base is one of the all-time great moments in Bulldog baseball. I put it up there with Elijah McNamee, Burke Masters, any of them.
Yeah, I got some buddies, and I see that replay from time to time. It's a pretty good one.
Wes, obviously, you had, you know, you're on the team that went to Virginia in 2013 and won that Super Regional to advance to Omaha. You had 2 of the biggest plays in that Super Regional, that massive home run, which may or may not still be traveling deep into the trees there at Virginia. But I think people forget that final out and the defensive play you had to make sometimes. You talk us through that final out, and you know, I remember you telling Jonathan Holder, "I got you," at the end of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, a play that you're never really ready for, that just kind of happens, and you hope you're prepared. And it's just a, you know, something that you pray that it finds your glove, and it did, you know. But that was definitely a big out for sure.
Wes, you played in regionals on the road, and you played in regionals, you know, at home. Is there, you know, obviously you'd prefer to be at home and be in front of your crowd, but is there something to the idea that playing on the road sort of can take the pressure off a team sometimes?
I think so, absolutely. A lot of that pressure's off, you know. I mean, when you're at home and, you know, you're really fired up, you know, Duty Noble's about to fill up, you know. I mean, there's definitely some added nerves there that are not there when you're on the road. I think you're able to maybe take a little of that pressure off and focus a little bit more when you're on the road, and hopefully that's what we can do this weekend.
You've had a chance to watch this team this year. One of the things, one of the comments I made throughout the year was the similarities to the 2014 team, a team that, you know, probably lost a couple of games it shouldn't have lost, and that's what ended up costing it a hosting spot. When you've watched this team this year, do you see some similarities between that team or any other team that you played on here at Mississippi State?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest difference this year with this team is they've just found an identity and they found a role. And, you know, there's been a set lineup they can, you know, look forward to every day and get ready for. And they kind of know what guys are going to fall into what position. And that's the biggest thing, especially in big games, you know, big situations. Your team's ready for those moments because, you know, that guy's been in that situation a bunch that season, or that bullpen guy's been in that situation a lot that season. And I think that's really prepared this team more so than teams in the past, and I think that's a lot of, you know, very similar to the teams that we had. You know, we had a lot of guys that were in the position and ready for it, you know, so I'm excited to see what this team can do.
Obviously, you were a hitter, but when the biggest part of this season, the turnaround, I think, is when what's happened with the pitching staff. When you see what Justin Parker has been able to do with this staff and how much better they are than a season before, you know, what is it that pitching coaches are doing that can make that big of a change?
Man, I tell you guys, I walked into our pitching lab, and it is just so much more advanced than when we were there even, you know, 14 years ago. I mean, the technology they have and they're using for spin rate, I mean, those guys are getting fed data after every single pitch that we had no clue it even existed, you know, just 12, 14 years ago. So I'm sure a lot of that's contributing to it. It sounds like they've totally bought into all the new analytics of that side of the game. And like I said, I mean, these guys have just gotten confident and, you know, found their role in the bullpen and really settled in. I think that's what really drives the pitching staff. You know, they know what to expect every single weekend. They're ready for it mentally. So he's done a hell of a job there for sure.
Not that you had a lot of slumps when you were playing at Mississippi State, but you've watched Hunter Hines and you've watched Dakota Jordan these past couple weekends, and they're just not feeling it right this second. As a hitter, when do you realize that you're in a slump?
Oh, man. I tell you what, it reminds me of Lane Burrows, who I was really close with during my time there, and he recruited me in high school. I can remember freshman year going through a tough time. You know, a freshman in this league is not easy. There's some big-time arms in this league. And he just really broke it down from a standpoint of saying, man, you got to look at it like this. This is a short season. You know, we're playing 50 to 60 games. You know, some of those guys were in like a, you know, 0 for 40, 1 for 40 stretch. You know, that's only a week, 8 days of baseball in the big leagues. You know, when you're playing 30 games a day, you look at any big leaguer and can say, man, they can have a weak slump and it not even faze them. So you just got to tell yourself, you know, hey, these are some big-time arms. This is what happens to the best in the world, and I just got to keep getting ready to go to the park and swing it every day.
I remember a couple years ago there was a clip of Pete Rose talking about when you're in a slump that, you know, change where you sit in the batter's box, change maybe something. Don't ever change your swing because your swing is what got you to this point. As a player, you know, what do you do in the cage? What are you doing in the film room when you're in a slump to try to get out of it?
Man, I was a guy, I really didn't try to change my swing. You know, I think what you said, spot on. You know, when you're not seeing the ball and you're in a slump like that, you're really just not seeing the baseball. You know, everything about hitting is revolved around you seeing the spin of that baseball. And when you're not seeing it like those guys have been, you know, you just can't see it. It looks like a white blob coming at you, and you don't know where it's going, you know. So the biggest thing is just trying to get comfortable and seeing that baseball again. And those guys took some big swings this week in the regional, so hopefully that lights a fire under them. They're seeing it better, ready to go for this regional.
And is it just as simple to come out of it as if you get a hit, if you just run into a ball and get a hit, does that sometimes snap things back into focus for you?
Absolutely. You know, like anything, just get you back in the rhythm. You know, anything, you know, a lot of coaches will try hit and runs just to get you in a mind frame of, hey, I'm swinging at this pitch, to take all the guesswork out of it. And, you know, there's all kind of little things you can try in the games. But like I said, I mean, those guys took a few big swings this week, so I think they're starting to see it a little bit better.
Wes, when you think back to your time at Mississippi State, obviously a lot of great memories, and you had that great run to Omaha there. Is there one moment, is it the Virginia home run that stands out above all else for you?
As far as moments, yeah, well, obviously that's a big one. You always remember the home runs, but and really just the run and that team and that entire year, you know, just experiencing making it to that final game and our fan support and seeing how awesome they are, you know, that's what you really look back on and remember.
One more thing for you, Wes, before we get out of here. And you know, if we embarrass you on this one, well, it's just going to have to be that way. But we have a listener here who had a question for you. His name is Gibbon Greenwood. And he asked if you've ever caught a tire on your boat prop.
Oh, man. No, sir. I have not. I believe Gib Bellis from Greenwood is the only human that I've ever seen catch a tire on a boat prop. Yes, sir.
So,
I got to give a shout out to my Dicamba dogs. That's a good group from the Delta.
So yeah, I think we have some mutual friends in that group, Wes, yes, as well as that. So, obviously, you know, in Charlottesville this weekend, and then in Fayetteville next weekend for the Diamond Dogs. If they head back to Omaha, am I going to see Wes Ray there?
Absolutely, I wouldn't miss this one for the world. You know, I wasn't able to make it that last trip, and probably one of my biggest regrets of
me and you
my
both,
entire buddy. Life. So, I don't think I'll miss another one.
When you think about that 2013 team, I mean, some of those guys are still, you know, doing their thing in the majors. It's fun to look back at that team because, you know, during the regular season, y'all were a good team. But I don't think we realized at the time just how talented that roster was top to bottom.
Yeah, it kind of came into its own. You know, that was kind of that recruiting class's junior year where you really grow into who you are as a player. And it was, you know, it was awesome. I think we got up to 9 or 10 guys in the big leagues off that roster, which is, I think, tied for a record, but pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
What Mississippi State loves to push the family thing, and with the former Diamond Dogs, you know, on average, how many of your former teammates and how many former MSU baseball players do you talk to in a week?
Oh man, it's a large portion of them. You know, we got a group message with Fantasy League still rolling. You know, I would say a group of 15 to 20 of us probably keep up pretty much weekly, you know, and got all the fantasy and brackets and all that going and keep up through that, weddings and things. But it was a real special group. We'll definitely keep up with most of them.
Have you ever thought about getting into coaching?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The hassle these guys are having with this NIL stuff now is absolutely crazy. I don't think I'd like that hassle.
What Starkville restaurant would you have had an NIL deal with?
That's a good question. I would probably have to go with the Grill. Shout out to my guy Terry at the Grill. He's not there anymore. I think he's at Walk-Ons, but they always took care of us.
I know Terry. Yeah, you're correct. He is there now, but that's a good guy, really good guy there. Sir. So, oh, well, Wes Ray, appreciate the time. Appreciate the stroll down memory lane. Hope to see you again soon, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Good dogs.
All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend or any weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So you need to go check it out. You need to go to your grocery stores, your meat markets, your butcher shops, and tell them, need a steak. Got me a steak. Give me a brisket. Give me a tri-tip. Give me a picanha. Give me some beef ribs. You know what I'm saying. Nobody's going to be mad when they come to the cookout and you tell them, hey, we got some beef on the grill right now. Everybody's going to be super, super happy. This is grilling season. Nothing better than beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And I'm just going to tell you that we love Two Brothers here on Thunder and Lightning. We love the pork rind nachos, as does rock legends AC/DC, as we've determined here. And Chris Lemonis' favorite band, AC/DC.
Yes, by osmosis, Chris Lemonis. I don't even think I have to say that. I think we can pretty much draw a conclusion that Chris Lemonis probably likes pork rind nachos.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel pretty confident in that assessment. So, yes. Does Chris Lemonis like the older brother? I don't know if he's been yet, but he needs to go as soon as this postseason run is over. I got a text from a friend of ours earlier days, like, these French fries are ridiculous. I'm telling you, they have the best French fries I may have ever had. They are incredible. You're a French fry person. You need to go to the older brother. They have a lot of great sandwiches, that stuff you're not going to find anywhere else in Starkville. Check it out, the older brother. And, of course, if you want some smoked Southern soul food, you go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise you that. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. Nobody better. They know how to get things done. When you need technology for your business, you need to give them a call. And if something does go wrong, you're calling the same people back. Not a 1-800 number, not a call center, not being on hold for 45 minutes, not an out-of-state technician who'll make an appointment and try to be there in a week or two. A lot of it's going to be done the exact same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems Advantage Business Systems can help your business do business. If you are hitting up a game in Starkville anytime soon. If you're going to be in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to get it. That's right. Maroon & Co. has a selection that you cannot find anywhere else. They have stuff that is not on the rack at any other Mississippi State gear store. They have stuff that you cannot find literally anywhere else. And they have the logos that you want. They have the Bulldog Initiative line that nobody else has. They're the exclusive provider. Again, Father's Day is around the corner. If you're here in Starkville, if you're in the Golden Triangle area, make the trip to Maroon & Co. for Dad. He'll be happy. You'll be happy. Before you go to the game, you go to Maroon & Co. Speaking of going to the game, what a glorious day this is, Robbie Falk. We have times. We have kickoff times for some games for the Mississippi State Bulldogs, but we will start at the end with the big news that the Egg Bowl has moved to a Black Friday 2:30 kickoff, national television on ABC. This is a huge move for this game. It will put a lot more eyeballs on it. I always, people who listen to the show know that I was a big fan of the Thanksgiving game. I always enjoyed it. I think my main thing, Robbie, is I just don't want the game to be on Saturday. I want to have that Saturday free of Egg Bowl stress. So putting it on Friday works just fine for me. Plus, I get an extra day off out of it because now you can't have Sports Talk Mississippi that day. We're not going up against the Egg Bowl. So
no,
there it is. Oxford, Mississippi, 2:30. First Friday Egg Bowl since 2008. And an odd coincidence here, the last three Egg Bowls that have been played in the daytime, all in Oxford, 2014, 2016, 2020.
Yeah.
So, kind of weird. Kind of weird how that works. So 2:30 ABC.
Was 2020 during the day?
Yeah, it was an 11 a.m. kick.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was not 11 a.m.
I'm almost positive.
2020? It was nighttime when that game ended.
The COVID game?
Yes.
No. Is that right?
Yes.
It was
that was
game.
Not 11 a.m.
It was a day kickoff.
I mean, it might have been like 2:30.
Hold on.
But by the end of the
game. Now we got to know, don't we?
Yes.
3 p.m. You're right. You're right.
I knew by the end of the day it was dark.
Was it dark? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I thought we got out of there was still light.
No.
Okay.
Because I went to the cookout after that game. I had to take my Ole Miss brother-in-law while I had a massive headache to the cookout, and I just listened to him while I stayed in silence the rest of the ride.
Sounds about right. So anyway, yeah. Still a daytime kickoff, though. My original point was correct.
Yeah, I love this move.
Yeah.
I really do. Because here's the thing now. It appeals to most everyone, to me, I think. You don't have it on Thanksgiving, which there's a lot of people that don't want it on Thanksgiving due to the fact that they want to be with their families, things like that. That's kind of my thing. I would like to have my Thanksgiving back where I get the whole day to spend with my family. I know they don't care about us, so I get that. But I would like to spend the whole day with my family, get to enjoy Thanksgiving, and the next day is devoted to the Egg Bowl. So you got that. On top of that, you're opening yourself up to more eyeballs here with this Friday game because you're not going head to head with the NFL, which is what they've done since they've gone on Thanksgiving. You're going to be not the only show in town probably that day. There's going to be some other games, but it's basically prime time because it's going to be on ABC at the 2:30 kickoff. That's basically the new, it's not basically, that is the new CBS kickoff. The 2:30 ABC kickoff is the new CBS. So that's the 2014 Egg Bowl basically is what you're going to get now. So that's a big deal, I think, to have that kind of audience that you're going to have on Black Friday. And like you said, you don't have to worry about the Saturday, that game taking up that time slot. So I think it's probably the best thing that could happen to this rivalry is to have this game on that Friday instead of the Thanksgiving. I just think that
it's
I know the tradition. I know there's been some great games on Thanksgiving, but this is really good for the rivalry as a whole, I think.
Yeah, it couldn't be better. From a viewership standpoint, yeah, you still have the kind of the standalone nature of it. I like what they're doing with Friday. They moved Georgia Tech. That's a game I would enjoy watching, and it's always in the morning on Rivalry Saturday. When I'm trying
nobody
to
even know, like nobody State. Knows it exists. Horribly.
Yeah, nobody watches. Now it's going to get a primetime spot. I'm going to watch. So I love it. I think it's a great spot for this game. Then we learned the first 3 weeks, and honestly, Robbie, this is good stuff for Mississippi State. All right, so credit the athletic department if they did some of these things, if they had some hands in it. 5 o'clock kick on opening night, August 31st. That'll be on the SEC Network Plus, so you'll have to watch that on streaming against Eastern Carolina. I asked, I had a source, and I asked him, I was like, why 5 o'clock? You know, it's the SEC Network Plus game. You have the power over that. You can kick it off at 7 o'clock if you wanted and let the sun get all the way down. And their comment was, we learned in 2021 that heat in Arizona is so brutal that we want to have a half in the sun to understand a little bit and acclimate a little bit to it so that the next week when we're in Tempe, we feel a little bit better about it. Still get the second half of the game in the evening. The sun will be down. But they wanted to have just a little bit of work in that heat to get them ready for the Arizona State game. So, I logically makes sense to me.
Yeah, these times that they released are good for September, I think, as far as just like handling the heat. Now, 9:30 Central kind of sucks, but like you said, I mean, the heat out there in Tempe is absolutely brutal. Yeah. Even at nighttime, and the further back you can go to give yourself a little bit of a reprieve there, you'll take it. But I think 5 p.m. is a really good time. It's still going to be pretty hot. But, you know, by the end of the first quarter or so, I think sun's going down. It'll kind of temper that a little bit and should be a manageable game to get through. And it's going to keep your fans at the game.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, an 11 a.m. or a 1 p.m.
Nobody's
coming. First game, you're not going to have anybody there. And if they are there, they're going to last one half and they're out.
Yeah.
So you want to keep them there as long as possible. And then 6:30 on September 14th, great kickoff time for Toledo.
Yeah, 6:30 is a fantastic – I was well resigned to that being an 11 a.m. game. I will say this, looking ahead – now, the SEC is doing something really cool. Next month, they're going to announce windows for every game, which means we will know every game if it's going to be morning, afternoon, or evening, and they will have some flex opportunities as well, which is just smart, right? So we're going to know for sure where every game is going to be played. You can start making your plans relative to maybe an hour or two. It looks like there's a bunch of new times. I saw Ole Miss has a game kicking off at 3:15, and, you know, just with all the windows now. But 6:30 is a great kickoff. I will resign myself, though, that UMass will be 11 a.m. There's no way all of State's non-conference games will be night kickoffs. No way.
Well, here's the thing. Like, at that point, I don't care.
Yeah.
November 2nd?
Yeah.
Like, that's perfectly fine. If they can survive September with all night games or late afternoon, they've won.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. You get Florida at, like, 6 p.m. or something like that, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll find out. So that's coming mid-June. So
Austin's going to be – Texas is going to be like 11 a.m.
I think that's going to roll right out of game day because that is Texas's first ever SEC game.
Yeah.
They'll want to have a big to-do for that.
11 a.m. ESPN.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So good times, though. Those are as those things go, you really could not have done better if you're a Mississippi State fan, considering that there's not really a marquee game in those first three. You know, 9:30. You know, first, or 9:30 kickoff is tough here in the Central Time. It's really tough if you're a Mississippi State fan living in the Carolinas or Florida, I guess. But I mean, what is that 7:30 local too, right? They're Pacific Time out there. I'm pretty sure.
Where
in Arizona?
Yeah,
yeah. So 7:30. Yeah, it's gonna be hot out there, but at least here in you know,
I mean, we're sitting here like this is ridiculous, and they're like, oh God, thank God.
Robbie, are you planning to go to Tempe?
No, I don't think I'm able to make that one.
I want to lock you in right now. Let's do the show when that game ends. Let's go like 2:30 a.m.
Oh,
thunder and light. Come on. Commit now. Come on.
I can't commit now. If they lose, I'm going to be pissed.
Do it. Plant the seeds of treachery. Call him fat. All right.
Hey, I got a kick out of that that video you did with Borky where he recreated the picture. Dude,
I got him to unbutton the shirt.
How about Borky and Kiffin were already wearing the same shirt?
Well, you know, they got the same hair.
I mean, are Ole Miss people all just create a player? Like, they're just they're all just the same person. They all just have the, like, you just, like, it just automatically defaults to, like, the button down.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a button down or you can have the tucked in golf polo into your shorts.
There you go. There you go. Something like that. So, all right. Robbie,
the playlist
is
here is
Virginia. So that being said, if State makes it all the way to Sunday, we'll have to figure out, you know, I may have to get, may have to bring Grace back out of the bullpen. You know, she can go twice in a week where it's this postseason. We might need, might need her to step up for us one more time. We'll figure that out on Sunday. Until then, guys, have a great weekend. Back with you very soon. Robbie, enjoy yourself up in Virginia. Talk to you again then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.